Please take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 is where we're going to start this morning. Today's Sunday, January the 11th already, 2026. We're all familiar with the scriptures and God's word that speak about the return of Jesus Christ, our gathering together. We're not going to look at those this morning, but we know from 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about how it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, instantaneously, and those that are corrupted, those that have died, will be changed into incorruption. Those that are alive, mortals, will be changed into immortality. And it also says in there, that verse that Dave made reference to a few minutes ago, death is swallowed up in victory. We get victory over death. And then we know from 1 Thessalonians 4 that we are going to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that gathering together is part of this new administration that we live in, the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. The gathering together is part of that. That's why what Jesus Christ spoke about in the Gospels concerning the end times comes after we're gathered together, because the mystery hadn't been revealed yet. You know, Jesus Christ didn't say, I'm going to come back and you're going to meet me in the clouds. He never said that, because the mystery hadn't been revealed. We also know in Philippians it says we're going to get a body like his resurrected body when that happens. And when we read here in 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. That's who we are. What manner of love that is, that we would be called the children of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we are. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At that moment, eternity begins for us. And we know that that day is absolutely coming, because God has promised it. In Titus, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So we know that that's coming. This morning, I'd like to look at some of what God's word says that pertains to what God has planned after that great gathering together day. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, just as kind of a starting point to consider what God has planned after that great, wonderful gathering together day. 1 Corinthians 15. Just as a little reminder here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. This context here is that some of the folks in Corinth were saying, there is no resurrection. This life, this is it. And we read in verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, well, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished, gone, forever, obliterated. And then verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Of course we would be. If Christ is not coming back, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, what's the point of anything? What are we doing here on a Sunday morning, you know, getting into the Bible and fellowshipping with each other? What's the point? Won't matter. Won't matter if you live to be 150 years old, and then that's it. So what's the point of anything? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most miserable. Well, we're not miserable. We're not miserable. So what does God have planned after that great gathering together day? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We just read in the Epistle of John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. The reason we're children of God is because we have His Spirit in us. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, when people do a will, they designate heirs. You know, this person gets all the land. This person gets all the property. This person gets all the gold. This person gets all the silver. And this particular relative gets a thank you for being in the family. We're heirs of God. That's so big to think about. What does that mean? What does that entail? We're part of the inheritance. We get to share that with Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with Him. Do we deserve to be joint heirs with Him? No, He did all the work. We're joint heirs with Christ. And then comes that wonderful verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory that's going to be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time, before Christ comes back. What kind of sufferings? Any and all sufferings. And there's not a person living that doesn't go through some kind of sufferings. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's little, but we live in this crazy life, and there's times when we endure hard things, when we endure things that are not pleasant. But all of it, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. What is that going to be like? What does God have planned? He's planning for glory in us. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's that glory again. What a comparison. The comparison in this verse is just awesome. Affliction is mental pressure, can come from physical, mental, relationships, anything. And no matter what kind of affliction we go through, God is referring to it as light. Oh yeah, it's just light. Next time somebody's really going through something, you might not want to say, oh, that's just light. Doesn't feel light when we're going through it, does it? Sometimes it feels heavy, hard, burdensome. But God calls it light affliction and then goes on to say, and it's just for a moment. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a moment, does it? Sometimes it's more than one day, right? So God compares everything we go through as light, like a feather, for just a moment. Works for us, and now look at the comparison, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that's what God has planned for us. An eternal, as opposed to moment, weight, as opposed to light, glory, as opposed to affliction. What does God have planned for us? It's going to be good. It's going to be good, because there's no comparison. The sufferings of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us, and our light affliction now is just for a moment, and it's going to work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. Back up to 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to go to verse 9. Context of this is the great mystery. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even imagine it. We can't even imagine what this eternal weight of glory, or the glory that's going to be revealed in us. What does God have planned for us? Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, you can't even think and imagine it. I think it's going to be pretty good. Oh, yes. Ephesians chapter 2. God put these little reminders throughout the scriptures about what's coming. And sometimes, you know, you can read them and then you go, yeah, that's cool. Then sometimes you stop and think about it and it's like, wow, what does he have planned? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he's going to show, he's going to exhibit the exceeding riches. Oh my goodness. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. And it's all through Jesus Christ. What's that going to be like? What's that going to be like to be on the receiving end of his exceeding great riches of his grace? The glory that's going to be revealed in us. The weight of, what's that going to be like? What does God have planned for us? Looks like it's going to be pretty good, doesn't it? I mentioned this before. Go to Philippians 3. I mentioned at the beginning about the new bodies that we're going to get that are like Jesus Christ's bodies. I wanted to read those verses and the verse that follows it. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, or it would be better, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we sing that song all the time. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That's very true. We're just passing through. We're just sojourning right now. We're just on a little trip in this world, in this life. This isn't home. I have a home prepared where the saints will abide. Some of those songs we sing are just wonderful about the hope. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, is today the day he's coming back, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. A body fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorious resurrected body. And when you look in the Gospels, a few of the records of the post-resurrection records, and see Jesus Christ, who could just appear right in the room. He could eat, praise the Lord. But that resurrected body, and the scriptures say he dies no more. That's that eternal life we're getting. And so, keeping the context going, look at the next verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because we're going to be raised and we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. We've got such a great hope. Therefore, my beloved brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Don't faint. There's something great coming, and it is coming. And what has God got planned? I don't know, but it looks like it's going to be absolutely fabulous. Look at 1 Timothy 4. We were here last week when we were talking about exercising. 1 Timothy 4, if you were here last week, you probably remember this verse. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There is a life that is coming that's very different than this life we're living now. Very different. We're going to have new bodies fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorious resurrected body. We're going to live forever. And God has promised that there's going to be a glory revealed in us, something that eyes not seen nor ear heard. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We've looked at this verse before and in this section here. And the word reward could easily be translated compensation. Everybody's going to receive compensation for what they did. Go to verse 12 now. We've looked at this before, but I thought it'd be good just to read it again. Now, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, and the foundation is Jesus Christ, and then you have gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's two categories there. Wood, hay, stubble is one category, gold, silver, precious stones is another category. And God's using this analogy because he's going to be talking about fire, and wood, hay, stubble, we know, burns up pretty quickly, right? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. We're in verse 13. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or prove every man's work of what sort it is. The fire is not trying the person, it's trying the things we did. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. The wood, hay, stubble is burnt up, but the gold, silver, precious stones remains. That's the good work we do. If whatever of that remains, we're going to be rewarded for that. If any man's work shall be burned, he's going to suffer loss. Loss of what? Eternal life? No. Loss of rewards that he could have obtained. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Because it's eternal life that we have. That can't change. It's incorruptible seed, right? Everybody see that? You know, some people have worries and concern about judgment day. Oh, Lordy, when judgment day comes, I'm going to get... In Romans, it says we've been saved from wrath. In 1 Thessalonians 1, it says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says we're not appointed unto wrath. We're not going to go through the judgments. That wouldn't be a lot to look forward to, would it? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the judgment you're going to go through. If in this life only you think it's miserable, wait till you get to the judgment. Aren't you glad we're not reading verses like that? But yet preachers preach that. And they preach fear to get people to do God's word. And it's just terrible. All the junk in our life, it's just burnt up. It's gone. It has no consequence to eternal life. What's left, that we are compensated for, we get a reward. So go to chapter 9, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but it'd be good to read it sometime. Chapter 9. Paul is talking about his preaching and the commission that he has to preach God's word in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. And again, you might want to just read the whole chapter sometime, but 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, the good news, the joyful proclamation. Well, why do you say that? Because that's what he was commissioned to do. That's what God had called him to do, was to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I'm going to continue here in this chapter, but I'm going to be reading from the Working Translation. So, verse 17. So, if I do this voluntarily, then I have compensation, a reward. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if involuntarily, then I have still been entrusted with the administration of the gospel. You know, whether he's going to do it willingly or voluntarily, he's still been entrusted with it. That's what God's called him to do. Verse 18, then what is my compensation? What is my reward? So that when I proclaim the gospel, I may make the gospel without expense so as to make full use of my authority in the gospel. So his question is, what is my reward then? Verse 19, although I am free from all, I myself became a servant to all that I might gain more people. He hasn't yet answered the question, what is my reward? He goes on to say, to the Judeans, I became as a Judean so that I might gain Judeans. To those under the law, I became as under the law, not being myself under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. To those without law, I became as without law, not being without law to God, but within law to Christ, so that I might gain those without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save or deliver some of them. What a servant he was. I became all things to all people. Doesn't matter if they're Jew, doesn't matter if they're under the law, doesn't matter if they're going to speak God's word and preach God's word. He still hasn't answered the question, what's my reward then? Verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow participant of it with them. Do you not know that all those who run in a race certainly do run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a manner that you may win. And I think King James says, so run that you may obtain. Everyone, here's the answer, verse 25, everyone who competes in a contest exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible prize, a reward, a compensation. There's the answer. What is my reward then? It's an incorruptible crown. It's the compensation. It's the reward. And not just for Paul, but for you and I too, because he says, so run that you may obtain, so that you can be rewarded when that great day comes. And then verse 26, therefore, I run in this manner, not as with uncertainty. I box in this manner, not as punching the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm in it. I beat my body and treat it as a slave, lest by some means, after the heralding to others, I myself should be rejected or rejected from the competition. God is going to reward us. What's that going to be like? I don't know. But from what we've been looking at, an eternal weight of glory, the glory that will be revealed in us, the exceeding riches of his kindness in his grace toward us, so run that you may obtain. What does God have planned for us? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. No wonder we're excited about the return of Jesus Christ. Not that being gathered together with new bodies and meeting him face to face in the clouds, not that that's not cool, but then what? We're looking at then what? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, reading this could very easily remind us of what we saw in John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and what we saw in Romans, Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God and heirs of God. It also ought to remind us of 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, if there's no resurrection, then there's nothing. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We're born again. And that makes us sons of God, children of God. Begotten us again unto a lively hope. It's not a fake hope. It's not a false hope. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at this. Verse 4. To an inheritance. Isn't that what we read in Romans? We're heirs. Remember that? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. What is God reserving in heaven for you and for me? What is this great inheritance that's coming? What does God have planned for us? Oh, glory. No wonder it said, so run that you may obtain. We read in Philippians after it talked about the new bodies that we're getting. Stand fast. Don't budge. Yes, but it's tough. I know, but it's just for a moment. Oh, this affliction. Yeah, I know, but guess what? There's a weight of glory coming. Look at 2 John. It's only one chapter. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves. 2 John 8. Look to yourselves. Sometimes people are all worried about everybody else. Look to yourselves. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Stand fast. Stay put. So run that you may obtain. Because God has promised to reward us. And that verse we read in 1 Corinthians, every man shall receive his own reward for the things that he's done. The fire's going to try everything, and whatever remains, remains. There's not going to be any time for, I lived in 2026, and these people around me were, and this happened, and that, here, let's just have the fire try it. All right, there's your reward. So run that you may obtain. It's interesting, Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, has the word reward in it. Revelation 22. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. I hope so. And my reward is with me to give every man, every woman, according to his or her work, shall he? Rewards are real. They will be distributed. We are going to be rewarded. And one more before we close in Timothy. Back up a page to Revelation 21. Very familiar verse, but in light of what we're looking at concerning what does God have planned, Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is going to take place in the ages to come. No more death. Corinthians told us we have death, victory over death itself. No more pain. I think the older you get, the better that verse looks. Yeah. You wake up in the morning and go, wow, what is this? What is going on here? No more pain. Oh, the former things are passed away. What does God have planned for us? It looks pretty good, doesn't it? We're going to close in 2 Timothy 4, if you would, please. 2 Timothy 4. You know, looking at these verses that we've looked at, and there are others we could look at as well. For me, when I look at these, for me, it's almost like God is saying, you have no idea what I have planned. You have no idea what's coming. We have such a great hope to look forward to. God is going to send his son, Jesus Christ. And what's coming for the born again ones when that day happens is, as we read, beyond anything we could imagine. For those that are not born again, that's a different story. But for us, as children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with a lively hope that's incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven for you. If God reserves something for you, it's reserved. What does God have planned for us? At the end of his life, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. There's a lot of fights we can get into, but better to fight the good fight. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't budge. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not now when I die and go to heaven and be with angels and harps. No, at that day. Paul knew that he was about to die. He very much understood he was basically going to sleep until the Lord returns. But at that day, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Well, good. Paul was one of the greatest believers of all time. Of course he should be rewarded. You know. What about you and me? It says, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The rewards are not just for the apostles. You know, the rewards are for any born-again believer that chooses to believe God's word, stay faithful on God's word, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, that's a great verse that I just now thought of. The end of 1 Corinthians 15. After all of that about the gathering together, the last verse, verse 58, says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What does it mean, not in vain? We're going to be compensated. We're going to receive the prize. We're going to be rewarded. What does God have planned for us? We really can't imagine what God has planned for us after that great gathering together day. But with the little bit that we know about God from his word, his power, his love, I would say it's going to be spectacular. So until that day comes, let's just stay put. Father, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us such great encouragement and excitement about what is to come. The hope we have that you not only will send your son, Jesus Christ, back to come and get us, but that, Father, in your great love and mercy, you're also going to reward us. So until that day comes, Father, may we just continue to love you, thank you, and do our best to live your word and reach out with the great message that we have to others who have ears to hear. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this morning. I pray that you would bless everyone here. And as someone prayed earlier, those who need healing, both here on the hookup, please bless them and bring the healing they need. And Father, may we all have a wonderful week together, rejoicing in the hope. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.